From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Cohen.
And I'm Madeline Brand. We begin today with the latest news on the housing front. Existing home sales are down again. Today, the National Association of Realtors said prices fell for the eighth consecutive month.
That means median prices are down 5% from a year ago, and that is a record drop. Throw in continuing troubles with subprime mortgages and the growing number of foreclosures, and you have real problems in neighborhoods across the country. Coming up, we'll speak with one homeowner who says half the houses on his block are abandoned.
Mayors across the country are crying out for help from the federal government. Celeste Headlee attended a special meeting of the U.S. Conference of Mayors in Detroit this week, and she has this report.
The Conference of Mayors has made the current foreclosure crisis its top priority. A new report predicts that foreclosures could cause up to $6.6 billion in tax revenue loss in 10 states. John Taylor, president and CEO of the National Community Reinvestment Coalition, says many people still don't understand how serious the situation is.
They think it's hyperbole. Yeah, well, look at it like this. The amount of homes that are going to be lost between this year and the next year and a half is 10 times what we lost in Katrina.
A large group of mayors crowded the podium, anxious to share their concerns. They use words like catastrophe, disaster, and devastation. And Mayor Virge Bernero of Lansing, Michigan, says this is not a case of Chicken Little.
The other thing that could be said about politicians, you know, that we're prone to overstatement. Not in this case. And it's at every level. It's not just the poor section. It's not on the other side of the tracks. It's every income level. It's city. It's suburb. It's black. It's white. It's pockmarked now. But the wave is coming.
Of the 10 counties with the highest per capita foreclosures, 7 are in California, 1 is in Florida, 1 in Ohio, and 1 in Michigan. But Taylor says the impact of the housing crisis is being felt in every state of the union.
Normally, too, when you have this kind of foreclosure problems, they're regional, they're connected to oil in Houston or the auto manufacturers here in the Midwest. This is national. And we haven't had anything like this in modern history.
The report prepared by Global Insight says increased foreclosures will lower home values by nearly $520 billion next year. That means homeowners could lose more than $1 trillion in equity. And Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick says it's a mistake to believe that only minorities or low-income families are in danger of losing their homes.
Now we're looking at 1.2 million white Americans who have been trapped into bad loans as well. We're looking at people across economic lines. And so we now know that these are not people who are deadbeats.
The official position of the Conference of Mayors is that finding a scapegoat for the current crisis is counterproductive. But Conference President Doug Palmer of Trenton, New Jersey, says the situation could have been avoided with responsible action at the right time.
Congress could have passed FHA reform 5 years ago. They did not. Federal regulators could have strengthened underwriting standards in an environment of too easy credit and come down hard on predatory lenders. They did not. Lenders could have policed mortgage brokers more carefully, and Wall Street scrutinizers could have shown less greed and more care in the soundness of their investments and profits. They did not.
While there were harsh words for the lending industry, representatives from Quicken Loans, Wells Fargo, GMAC, and Countrywide attended the meeting in Detroit to talk about how to solve the foreclosure problem. They met with mayors behind closed doors and did not attend the press conference. But Richard Kaplan, mayor of Lauderhill, Florida, says all the parties are working under a looming deadline.
We are looking at a point in next year, possibly May of next year, where a lot of those adjustable and subprime mortgages are going to be adjusting in such a way that it's going to create even a bigger problem than it exists today. So the work that we need to do is very important and needs to be done now. We have to move on immediate answers.
The mayor's group plans to push hard for a legislative reform that'll help keep people in their homes and prevent houses from sitting vacant. Virge Bernero of Lansing says his city has about 20 new foreclosures every week, and he's overwhelmed.
Clearly, we need federal leadership on this. You know, I'm willing to say I can't handle it as a mayor. You know, I'm trying to keep roads paved. I'm trying to keep crime down. I'm trying to make sure we have adequate response to police and fire. This is bigger than the job that I signed up for.
The Conference of Mayors will meet in Washington in late January. The group plans to pressure Congress to rewrite lending laws and somehow stem the tide of coming foreclosures. For NPR News, I'm Celeste Headlee in Detroit.
There's a major spillover effect of all these foreclosures. They affect all the other homes in the neighborhood. Zach Adamson lives in Willard Park. It's a historic district near the east side of Indianapolis. It's a neighborhood of 100-year-old homes, many of which are now abandoned and in disrepair. And a big reason behind that is the foreclosure problem. Mr. Adamson, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell me about your neighborhood. What does it look like?
We have a great collection of 100-year-old plus houses. My house in particular is about 3,000 square feet, 12-foot ceilings, hardwood floors. And then we have a lot of boarded-up units that are blighted and falling apart and not a lot of hope for their restoration.
How many on your block?
On my block, there are probably one, two, three, four, about four on my little segment of the block. I think there are only about eight houses total.
So half the houses on your block
right.
are boarded up.
Right.
These houses are now in disrepair. Landlords have abandoned them. They're boarded up, and you say squatters are coming into your neighborhood?
Yeah, that's a serious problem. You know, being in the metro area, in the downtown area, the homeless problem is steadily getting worse. And these vacant and boarded up houses are easy locations that people can really find to get shelter and then set up residence for themselves illegally. We've had a number of arsons in Indianapolis, but a lot of them have been concentrated in a lot of these abandoned houses. Sometimes they're from squatters starting fires in them to keep warm or miswired electrical work. The squatters have been really moving into these abandoned houses as if because nobody really pays much attention to them because a lot of these banks that own them aren't even in the state.
So when you bought this house 5 years ago, was the thought that this was going to be a neighborhood that was going to gentrify, that was on its way up, that was going to become a desirable neighborhood?
Oh, absolutely. And I still do. And it really is. It's showing a lot of signs of progress. But the main problem with progress is these foreclosures. There's so much paperwork to go through. And like I said, there are two houses across the street from me that were empty when I moved in, and now they sit empty again. They've changed hands two or three times. You know, banks give people loans to buy these houses, and then they want to rent them out, and then they foreclose, and then they board them up, and they just sit there. Now, when someone wants to come in and help redevelop the area, they're looking at a house that isn't worth, you know, $30,000, and the note on it is $130,000. So how is progress supposed to happen?
And it probably costs more money to renovate it than
right,
it's worth.
Right, and a lot of these have set for so long that that is the case.
You are also president of your neighborhood association.
Yes.
What can you do about this?
The ideal situation is that you sort of help clean up a neighborhood. You get the residents involved, which is also very difficult because of the high number of slumlords and multiple unit properties that have really fallen into disrepair. Section 8 housing, where a lot of transient people come in, they move in April and they move out in July. It's really difficult to organize a group of people when there's so much apathy. That's my challenge. But one block at a time, we're getting people involved. They're starting to realize that the neighborhood organization in itself is really there for them, and we're not going anywhere. And I think that's what most people are suspicious of, is people have come in and tried to do things, and it didn't work, and they left. I have not only a vested interest, I have a personal interest in seeing this community revitalized. So it's a struggle. It's a struggle.
So you think you'll be there for a long time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love my neighbors. I love my house. And like I said, I wouldn't find this anywhere else. And I'm a mile from work. So,
Zach Adamson is a homeowner in the Willard Park neighborhood of eastern Indianapolis. Mr. Adamson, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.